Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every week I think it can't get any better, and it does in the NFL, and especially now in December when we are into this final month of the regular season, the stretch run, crunch time, playoff push, whatever it is that you would like to term it. It is the nitty gritty. And man, are we seeing teams step up and really understand and grasp the sense of urgency. And for some teams, that looks different than others. But the playoff races that we've got going on, they're juicy. And so this Sunday in the NFL provided lots of great entertainment, lots of interesting storylines, lots of implications for what's to come in the next 3 weeks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good Monday morning to you. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. What's the most impressive thing you saw this weekend in the NFL? Or if you choose college football, it's a de facto conference championship play-in to the playoff. It actually was like the playoffs were expanded to include conference title tilts on both Friday and Saturday. And so we've got our final four in college football. We only have three, though, in the NFL. Ultimately, we get six on each side. We now have three playoff teams. The Saints had already locked up the NFC South. The Chiefs earned the AFC West crown with their victory and the Raiders' loss on Sunday. And the Baltimore Ravens have also clinched a playoff spot, though not yet the division title. So we'll get to the ups, downs, the ebbs, the flows, the teams rising and the teams falling this hour. We always start with Sunday Night Football. And honestly, if you're looking for a team that's on the rise, still needs some help, but at least is putting itself in position, that's the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the defense has been fantastic, but to see the way the defense corralled Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, to see the way that, as Sean McVay promised, he was no longer going to be an idiot, they put more of an emphasis on the run game, which has opened things up for Jared Goff and their receiving core, and the receivers have gotten healthy. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks. Cooks didn't have a catch yesterday, but he's been part of this resurgence. And so the numbers for the Rams, they're going up on the offensive side. We're starting to see them put together more productive drives. And they started out like a house on fire. On Sunday night, they scored touchdowns on three of their first four drives. They were up 21-3 at the break. They never looked back. Not only did they give themselves enough of a cushion, but they really revitalized the defense. So you put your offense on the field for long stretches of time, and you keep your defense fresh for the second half. And the defense certainly had to cover up some mistakes in the second half. So Jared Goff then throws a pair of interceptions to Quandre Diggs. Also, they have a missed field goal, and yet the Rams defense covered it up like nothing had ever happened. Weren't given an inch against the Seahawks. I think the way that Sean McVay is willing to make adjustments, the way that he's willing to scrap a game plan, essentially start fresh, like crumpling up a piece of paper, throwing it out as an artist, beginning all over again if you don't like what you've put there on the page, but also his team's ability to adjust. That to me is impressive. And that's one of the reasons why the Rams are right here in the mix. Again, they need some help, partly because of the division they play in the NFC West, but also because they've done the dirty work. I wouldn't say they've come back from the dead, but there was a very faint pulse. And man, they got embarrassed by the Baltimore Ravens a couple of weeks ago. And so for them to rally the way that they have, I think speaks volumes about their leadership. Obviously, the Seahawks have plenty of leadership of their own. And this was a punch to the mouth. I have no doubt that they will regroup. And this is one of the things that the depth of the NFC West that makes it so interesting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Russell Wilson, 22 of 36 for 245 yards. He gets sacked 5 times. So he was under duress a ton. And he also throws an interception.
They played better than us tonight. We didn't play our best game. There's opportunities out there that we had. And they just didn't go our way. A lot of season left. Where we're trying to go, a lot more season left, a lot more things to do. Everything's still out in front of us. We got to play one game at a time and just get better, see the film, figure out how we can get better as a collective group.
Well, this is a rough night for the Seahawks tonight. We did not do what we had planned to do at all. And I thought it was a really good night for the Rams. They did a lot of stuff that they wanted to do. They were able to control the ball and move it like they wanted to and stay pretty secure with it for the most part as well. And they did a nice job on us early in the game. Without question, early in the game, they were controlling the tempo.
It's amazing how much better the Rams offense looks and Jared Goff looks when he has time to throw, when he has a clean pocket. I do appreciate the honesty of Pete Carroll, though, even as he's talking about how much the Rams started out like a house on fire and we just didn't do what we wanted to do at all, he says. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So for the LA offense, 455 yards. What's the shades of the 2018 Rams? No sacks. And Todd Gurley, over 100 yards.
Pretty good. Yeah, we ran the ball well. And the theme has been stay ahead of the chains. You know, run the ball well on first down, move the ball well on first and second down. And good things tend to happen for us. And that's how we're built. And it's been great.
Really pleased with our guys today. Definitely some things that we can clean up, but I thought our defense was outstanding from the start against a great offense that's really been putting a lot of pressure on people. It's a great football team tonight that we played. Coach Carroll and his staff, we have so much respect for that team, his coaching staff, and all those guys. And I thought really our team did a nice job responding, and now we got to do a great job next week against the Cowboys.
So the Seahawks are at 10-3, while the Rams are at 8-5. Again, the Rams need help, but at least they put themselves in the conversation. If you're looking at wild card teams, obviously there's the potential for the West to have two of them, but you also have to think about the Vikings, who have quietly put together 9 wins and are still hovering right there behind the Packers, just a game back in the NFC North. Saints and Niners, along with Seahawks and Rams, providing some really amazing entertainment. This was an early game, and the Niners had gone from their game in Baltimore and then spent the week in Florida. So they did not fly back across country. Instead, they stayed in Florida. George Kittle even mentioned it postgame. I don't know how much that had to do with the explosiveness of the offense. Maybe they were just catching the cold that New Orleans had. Maybe it was contagious. Man alive, in the first half, these two teams put up 55 points. The Niners were ahead 28-27 at the break. Emmanuel Sanders, a touchdown grab of 75 yards. He also throws for a touchdown on a trick play. Jared Cook hauls in a long couple of touchdown catches, although he takes a nasty hit and he's out in concussion protocol after that. But New Orleans breaks out of the locker room like it's a horse race. 4 touchdowns in 4 drives. And they post a double-figure lead. In fact, they're up by a couple of touchdowns. But the Niners rally. And if you have any question about the Niners' ability to beat you a variety of ways, this should have answered whatever lingering questions you might have. I don't know who these two teams think they are. Rams Chiefs from 2018. Shades of that too. 500 total yards in the first half. Now there are a couple of turnovers early in that third quarter, which maybe dampened the illusion that these are perfect specimens. But man, it made for a fantastic finish. The Saints are down 5 points with just over 2 minutes to go. I mean, this is Drew Brees and his niche. And he delivers again. 7 plays, 76 yards, 90 seconds, boom. Tre'Quan Smith catches his second touchdown. Now, they go for the two-point conversion. They don't get it. So the Niners keep them out of the end zone on the two-point attempt, which means they're only up by a point. So then San Francisco gets the ball back with 53 seconds remaining. Now, typically, this would be the time, the area, the space where you would fear Drew Brees, especially in the Superdome. But, man, it fit Jimmy Garoppolo and his offense like a glove. Maybe the play of the weekend. A 4th-and-2. And I swear you're going to see the meme. You're going to see the GIF. You're essentially going to see this play over and over. Not just this week, but the rest of the NFL season.
Garoppolo back. He throws out left. Caught. George Kittle down the sideline. 40. Runs by a man. Stiff arms a man. Still pushing. No flag. 3 flags come in. They may get George for a personal foul on the stiff arm.
No. No. In fact, George Kittle had guys grabbing and hanging on to his face mask and his body. And he still bangs his way upfield for 39 yards. Obviously, when he popped up, he was fired up, as were the San Francisco 49ers. Incredible play. If you haven't seen it, make sure you Google it. Signature George Kittle moment. It's what that guy is all about. Loves the big moment, loves the stage, loves the contact. If he's not blocking you, he's dragging you downfield with him. And that right away puts the Niners in field goal range.
Here's your football game. High snap. Wisnowski got it down. Robbie Gould's kick is good! Robbie Gould beats the New Orleans Saints at the gun.
When you go through those a game like that, I mean, that was as cool of a game as I've been a part of. A lot of emotions back and forth. It'll probably hit me a little bit harder when I get on the plane.
Thank goodness for our offense. Thank goodness for Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, George Kittle, obviously Kyle Shanahan. The entire offense made plays when we had to, made it hard down the stretch. There were some things in there, some circumstances that you can't control. But we're thankful we got the win, and it's a great team win.
Richard Sherman has gotten a lot of thank yous and hey, attaboys, from the offense over the course of the season because the Niners defense has won some games for them. But this one, whoo, racking up the yards and covering up. Drew Brees throws for 5 touchdowns at home. How often does that happen when Brees has some kind of crazy game? Michael Thomas breaks free for 100 plus and a score and they lose. Raheem Mostert, over 100 yards again. He's been a gem for the Niners in the last month or so. Garoppolo, 349 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he says that they were poised on that final drive. As for George Kittle, it was his moment. It was his game. So, you know, we should hear from him.
You know, one thing Coach Shanahan always says, don't let the bear loose in the building. Kind of like the semi-pro thing. So no matter what happens, just keep calm, cool, collected, and just ride the wave. And I think that we did really good that. No matter the ups and downs, we just kept going. Regardless of what happened, if they scored, 14 unanswered, I don't really remember what happened. But I think we just kept clicking, kept chugging along. Defense made plays when they had to. Special teams made good plays when they had to. And ultimately, offense did.
I mean, ride the wave and then drag 4 or 5 people downfield with you on a 4th-and-2 that goes for nearly 40 yards. Awesome. Maybe Chris can find that play because it's all over the place, but we want to make it easily accessible for you. Our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Now, that's NFC, and that's NFC West specifically. Niners now at 11-2, the Saints at 10-3. They're tied with the Packers, but the Packers would have the number 2 seed if the postseason started today. It doesn't. I'm not ready. We need some more time. The Seahawks are also at 10-3. Ooh, okay, logjam. Then you've got the Vikings at 9-4. And the Rams at 8-5. Unless we get some kind of a major push, I don't know, the Bears, they're above 500. Yeah, we're still going to get a team from the NFC East in, but not a wild card from there. You're essentially talking about right now 3 teams for 2 wild card spots. It's a game of musical chairs. A 3-week game of musical chairs. Straight ahead, how about AFC prowess? Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, New England Patriots, Buffalo Bills, Pittsburgh Steelers. Sorting through the implications of Week 14. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ingram in the backfield. Jackson in the gun. Jackson fakes the handoff. Rolls to the right. Lobs it to the end zone. Nick Boyle reaches up. Bobbles it. And makes the catch. Touchdown, Ravens. Nick Boyle with his second NFL touchdown. And the Ravens' first trip to the end zone today. Off the play fake. Jackson lopped down the middle. He's got Hayden Hurst wide open. 40. Bills 30. Leg race 20. Hurst to the 10. 5. Touchdown, Ravens. Hayden Hurst in for the score, and the Ravens open with the longest passing play of the day. Ravens in front 17-9, looking at a second and goal from the 4. Pistol formation, Jackson in front of Ingram. Ricard comes in motion to the left. Jackson takes the snap, rolls to the right, under pressure, throws back, complete, touchdown, Willie Snead! And the Ravens have opened up their lead.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Ravens Radio Network, Jerry Sandusky with the calls. Man, that touchdown pass to Hayden Hurst starting out the third quarter was humongous. And offense had been really hard to come by. It was only 10-6 Baltimore in Buffalo at half. The two teams really struggling to even move the chains. 4 of 15 combined on third down. But under pressure, Lamar lofts the ball over the top of the defense right down into Hayden Hurst's breadbasket, and he goes the distance. We know Baltimore loves the tight end in this new-look offense. Meanwhile, the defense doing its job, hounding and pounding Josh Allen and company all day long. The only scoring drive in the fourth quarter, but Allen's numbers, and honestly, Allen's facial expressions, his body language, all of it, just dismal. 17 of 39, 146 yards for him. He has a touchdown, but he also has a fumble, and he got sacked 6 times. But if you think that's the bottom line, 6 sacks, how about the other 12 quarterback hits administered by the Ravens? It's one of those games in which Buffalo could have taken a major step forward, kind of served notice, and I'm not saying they aren't a force to be reckoned with. They've got a lot of good things that they've done, and they've got a lot of good things going for them in this 2019 season. But this was a game that potentially could get them recognized as next level, and they fell flat on their faces.
That's a great team that we just faced. At the end of the day, we didn't make enough plays. Like I said, I got to be better in that aspect. And our defense played fantastic. You know, I want to shout them out and let them know we're gonna have their backs. You know, we're gonna have games like this. We're gonna have to find ways to win.
So Josh Allen has, I think, had 8 games in a row in which he had at least 2 touchdowns. They've been really relying on their run game, and yes, the defense, physical and aggressive, really taking on the personality of Sean McDermott there in Buffalo. Again, still a force to be reckoned with, likely a playoff team at 9-4. Though with the Patriots losing on Sunday, the Bills had an opportunity to take that step forward. Lamar Jackson, the second quarterback in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in a single season. Michael Vick being the only other quarterback ever to do it. And as the Ravens win, they became the first team in the AFC to clinch a playoff spot. They were later joined by the Chiefs, who've won the AFC West. But for the Ravens, now a 9-game win streak, and the postseason is, in fact, insured.
It feels good. It feels good. Yeah, it feels good. You know, I tried to make a big deal about it in the locker room, and the guys kind of gave me a smattering of applause. You know, they expected that. I think they've earned the right to expect that. But it's a good thing. But you know, we've got 3 more games and things to accomplish still.
John Harbaugh calling out his team for giving him the golf clap treatment when he tried to explain to them, hey, we've locked up the playoffs. Oops, no one's clapping. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The playoffs is awesome. 9 consecutive wins off the charts for the Baltimore Ravens. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a dogfight of a win in the desert. Impressive to see what their special teams and their defense continue to do in picking off Kyler Murray three times in the second half. So the Steelers move to 8-5, which means they're still alive technically for the North title. But more importantly, with this incredible coaching job and the leadership from Mike Tomlin and his staff, they are now just a game back of the Bills when we're talking wild cards. And think about this. In the AFC South, the Texans and the Titans have the same record as the Steelers. So one of them has to win the South Division title. And the Texans and Titans play each other twice in the final 3 weeks of the season. The Texans at home, after beating the Patriots, fall flat as well. Embarrassing. They've written a new book on how to start slow, but they never recovered. Denver scored on its first five possessions was up 38-3 in Houston. How does that happen? How do the Texans not know that they're playing for a division title? Or even worse, not care? And so the Texans leave the door wide open. And you know who's hard charging through it? Oh, Ryan Tannehill and the Titans.
Flip play, left side. Henry gets a block to the 10. Steps out of a tackle to the 5. Walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Derrick Henry around the left side for 12 yards and a big 6. Play fake, Tannehill looking, throwing deep down the middle, going for Brown. Brown's got it at the 50, breaks a tackle to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, that is 91 yards. Touchdown, Titans! Their longest touchdown pass in over 5 years. Tannehill in the gun. Takes the snap. Looks. Throws. Got it to Brown. Brown at the 10. At the 5. Driving for the end zone. Man, he's strong. Touchdown, Titans! A.J. Brown taking him to school. Play fake. Tannehill rolling right. Throwing back to the left. There's Smith open in the end zone. Did he hold it? Yes! Jonnu Smith. Touchdown, Titans!
Yeah, I'm just proud of our guys, and I don't know exactly, I can't put my finger on it, but there's a belief in each other, like I said, that, you know, someone's going to make the play to either, you know, win the game or bust it open, you know, so we just kind of stay about our business.
The calls from Mike Keith on the Titans Radio Network, they are worth the listen. He is highly entertaining. You could never take a snooze while Mike Keith is calling a game. And boy, can you tell he's having fun? 21 of 27 for Ryan Tannehill. 391 yards. What? Three touchdowns. He did have an interception, but this was a blowout for the Tennessee Titans. And they've now won four in a row. They've moved to 8-5. And if you're not paying attention, you're doing so at your own risk. So again, same record as the Texans, and those two teams, Houston and Tennessee, will meet twice in the final 3 weeks. How does the NFL get so lucky with its scheduling? It's amazing how that happens. Ryan Tannehill is one of our choices for Monday MVP, along with the banger George Kittle, and then Drew Locke in there as well, the Denver Broncos quarterback who helped engineer that upset in Houston, and Aaron Jones, not Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers, who had their 10th win. As always, we take your write-in votes, but you can find it on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Patriots fans booing their team off the field at halftime against the Chiefs. We'll get to that coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mahomes throwing off the back foot. He wants McCole. Hardman! He's got the catch at the 15! Juke at the 10! 5! Touchdown! Kansas City! Jet fuel! 48 yards as Mahomes off his back foot finds McCole Hardman, and the Chiefs take the lead.
Third down and goal to go at the 4. Kelsey's under center. Kelsey with the football. He's going to run it into the end zone! Touchdown! Kansas City! The high school quarterback from Cleveland, who played quarterback at the University of Cincinnati for a while, takes it on a Wildcat shotgun snap and into the end zone, and the Chiefs get their second consecutive touchdown on a Kelce direct snap run.
I mean, that's a really good defense. I mean, they've been really good for a long time, especially this year. And for us to go out there and put 23 points up, I mean, that shows that we're going in the right direction. Obviously, we didn't have the second half that we wanted, but we're still going in that direction.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This was a tale of two quarters before they ever hit halftime. A seesaw effect at the game that was billed as a rematch between the Patriots and the Chiefs from the AFC Championship a few short months ago. But, of course, these two teams are in completely different places than they were back then. Mitch Holthus with a sampling of the Chiefs' big plays on their radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Patriots start out with a long touchdown drive. I mean, it features trickeration, a flea flicker, ends up with a touchdown to Julian Edelman, goes 80-something yards, boom, on the board, just like that. Oh, okay. Sweet confines of Gillette Stadium. This is what they've done to teams over and over again for the past 2 years. Then they pick off Patrick Mahomes on the first Chiefs drive. Hasn't happened all year, not until they got to New England. But then Kansas City gains its footing after that initial punch to the mouth. Starts the second quarter with a touchdown drive and the speed of Hardman. He gets loose through the secondary. He goes 48 yards. One of the big plays that the Patriots defense was talking about after the fact. And then Bashaud Breeland actually was out of position. I thought this was really interesting that Tony Romo pointed out. He lost his mark. He got beaten by the offensive player he was supposed to be tracking and ends up just kind of fading back into coverage on a different guy and steps in front of the Brady pass for the interception. But if he had been where he was supposed to be, that never would have happened. So short field for Kansas City, the direct snap to Travis Kelce, and they've got the 10-point lead. As the Patriots then start to scuffle, they kind of come back to even, more of what we've seen from their offense this year. It's a scoreless second quarter, and as they head to the locker room, they're getting booed off the field, which was stunning to me. After everything the Patriots have done over the past 20 years, do they not deserve the benefit of the doubt for one stinky quarter? And you can tell me, oh, they've had it coming, the offense has been brutal. Yeah, they're still a 10-win team that's sitting on top of the AFC East and likely to win an 11th straight division title. Come on. I think they've earned a little bit more equity. Regardless, they get booed off the field. I think it smacks of entitlement. Just wait. You don't know how good you've got it, Patriots fans. And Kansas City lets the Pats right back in this game. And I would say their hustle plays, too. It's a combination of both. But a blocked punt, so then a short field for the Pats. Travis Kelce with a fumble. It's actually reviewed, but it didn't need to be. So Patriots come right back there, and they score those 9 points off the third quarter mistakes by the Chiefs. It's a massive mistake by the officiating crew. N'Keal Harry on the 3-yard line heads for the end zone, but gets called out of bounds. You look on replay, slow-mo, still photo, whatever. He was still in bounds. He never stepped out of bounds. And so the rookie would have had a touchdown. Instead, because Bill Belichick had no more challenges. Now, he'd successfully used one earlier, but he'd also unsuccessfully used one. And so he was out of challenges at this point. Patriots have to settle for a field goal. Still, though, those final 4 minutes, trailing by 7 points, Patriots get the ball back, and I'm thinking, yep, just like it's always been. Gosh, I was thinking, yep, just like it's always been when I saw the 4th and 6 conversion by the Patriots to keep their drive alive.
7-point lead, Kansas City. 3:26 to go in the game. Brady steps up. He's going to run. He's got room. 20-yard line, 15, and slides down to the Kansas City 12. A run of 17 yards by Tom Brady on 4th down and 6.
Can you hear it in the voice of Mitch Holtis? The dejection. He knows what's coming too. Or at least he thinks the same thing that most of America does. Tom Brady. I was trying to come up with the right verb. Scamper? Cruise? Gallop? Nope, none of those. Rumble? Nah, that's more a George Kittle style. He got loose. He got free. It was so awkward. And yet his mom thinks he's the fastest guy on the field. So good. I love it when old dudes run. Remember the spin move from Drew Brees last season on a touchdown? And he said he got home to his kids and they were practicing the spin move. It didn't matter what else he did. The spin move was cool. Well, Brady scampered 17 yards into the red zone. And then there at the end of the game, it was a little bit of the bend, but not break. And a familiar face for Tom Brady as he's staring into the end zone.
Brady, a long count here, trying to give a hand signal to Edelman. Takes the snap, chief spring pressure. Left side throw, and it's broken up in the end zone! Broken up in the end zone! A quarter route to Edelman! Knocked down by Breshad Breeland! 5 yards deep in the end zone! The Chiefs hold on downs at the 5-yard line!
You know, we got the ball, we moved it, we just didn't. We had some plays there where we could have scored, and just, you know, couldn't quite. We had a fourth down, we had, you know, some other ones in a red area. So a couple fourth downs just didn't make the plays when we needed to make them.
So Tom Brady starts out with a long touchdown drive, engineering a great score with the flea flicker, and finishes up with frustration again. He goes 19 of 36, 169 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Mahomes' numbers were a little better. They weren't MVP-like numbers, but 283 yards, a touchdown and interception for him as well. Edelman was nearly 100 yards. The Patriots had nearly 100 yards rushing. And in many of the statistical categories, they were better. But as Brady points out, missed opportunities, whereas the Chiefs were able to capitalize. Here's what else blew me away. There was a lot of grousing about the penalties called in this game. And I think a lot of people looking at it from a Patriots perspective, bad calls. And certainly the N'Keal Harry was a missed call by the officiating crew. But do you know the Chiefs had 10 flags for 136 yards. Oh my gosh, that's like the Browns, for heaven's sakes. That's like the Raiders. 10 penalties, 136 yards. Man, think about how much more this could have been a lopsided game. It wasn't a lopsided game, but how much it could have been more on the side of the Chiefs had they not had 136 penalty yards. That's insane. But they did dominate time of possession. And as much as they kind of had that blip there in the third quarter, they were able to kind of rally and steady the ship. They've now locked up the AFC West by virtue of their win and the Raiders, who are just, they're running backwards. It's pretty amazing what's happened to them. They're now below 500. And so an AFC West title for the Kansas City Chiefs. And man, it is so juicy in the AFC. So the Patriots at 10-3, but they drop back-to-back games. And actually, they lose their first game in Gillette going back to 2017. So 21-game win streak. All good things must come to an end. The Bills do not take advantage, though. So you've got the 10-3 Patriots, the 9-4 Bills. The Ravens are at 11-2. So we talked about their 9-game win streak, the longest win streak for them this season. And then the Steelers at 8-5, along with the Texans and the Titans. The Chiefs appear to be playing better football. And I heard it so many times on Sunday, because it's that time of the year, it's December. You want to be playing your best football as you get into the final few weeks of the regular season. Can you believe that even now we're starting to think about week 15? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And just to prove my point, the NFL on CBS Week 15 features a key AFC South showdown. I told you about this. Deshaun Watson and the Texans take on the red hot Titans. Others will see Kansas City hosting Denver and then other regional action. It all begins with JB and the guys setting up the day on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. I mean, 3 weeks left in the NFL regular season. Three Sundays of the chaos. So, of course, once we move into the playoffs, then you've got two games on each of those Sundays. And we've got Saturday baseball. Oh, my gosh. Saturday football coming up. I have no idea. I wasn't even thinking about baseball. I don't know where that came from. I wonder if I saw a photo or a sometimes the images on TV, although right now they appear to be both football, but the images on TV trip me up. So I'm not really watching TV, but if something flashes up on the screen, like a player or a name or a stat, it's like it gets into my brain and somehow it comes out my mouth. It's a very technical process. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So we've been asking you, what's the most impressive thing that you saw on Sunday in the NFL? Or if you wanted to go college football, we had a de facto playoff to get to the playoff with all the conference championships. And if you missed it, we did talk at the top of last hour about the Final Four, the matchups. Rob Mullins, the committee chair, explaining the choices of LSU 1, Ohio State 2, and then on down the line. And what he said was, it was a brief discussion. Georgia was the only other team considered for number 4 against Oklahoma. It was a brief discussion. So pretty lockstep with these Final Four, which is maybe not something we've always seen, but not much of a controversy. Also, if you missed my conversation with Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network, good stuff with him. Earlier in the show, he joined us from Los Angeles. We talked about the Rams and their resurgence, Saints and Niners, definitely talked about the Ravens. I asked him, do the Ravens have a weakness? His answer might surprise you. And also the maddening inconsistency of the Houston Texans, that as well. So make sure you check all of that out on our podcast. Our Manic Monday podcast, I call it. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Our interviews are always podcasted separately. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Billy says, San Fran over the Saints. What a phenomenal game. Oh, my goodness. I agree with that. I can't even imagine that you could have a Drew Brees throw 5 touchdown passes and lose at home. But I also am blown away by the number of ways that the Niners can beat you. And I don't know that they started out the season this way. I think with the difficult matchups they've had, especially those on the road, I think getting smacked in the mouth by the Baltimore Ravens, this adversity and these types of experiences are making them better. Joseph says the most impressive thing he saw all weekend, the duck. For sure. Arthur says Breeze is great, but not Breeze. But again, he can't play offense and defense. Arthur sounds like he can't make up his mind. He says 49ers actually had a bye for their defense this week. Jimmy G is smart. He put the team on his back in this 49ers victory. Matthew says the most impressive thing, Rams beating Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. It's a lot of good stuff. And so many questions yet to be answered. I will not be here tonight. I'll be enjoying Eli Manning and his return to the football field. Back with you for Tuesday night. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.